You're a growing business, which means you need every spare hour you can find. That's why the most successful growing businesses are working together in Slack. Slack is where work happens, with all your people, data, and information in one AI-powered place. Start a call instantly in huddles and ditch cumbersome calendar invites. Or build an automation with Workflow Builder to take routine tasks off your plate. No coding required. Grow your business in Slack. Visit slack.com to get started.
Want to increase your salary? Discover your earning potential with CareerBuilder. CareerBuilder.com knows you have superpowers that make you good to your job. They're called skills. And CareerBuilder.com has tools specially designed to help you move up, like CareerBuilder CoLab. Check out resume examples, learn what recruiters are looking for, search salaries, and view different career paths based on your skills. You'll be amazed to know how many ways you can use the skills you already have to build your future. Visit CareerBuilder.com.
It's time to get your swagger back with PointsBet Sportsbook. New customers download the PointsBet app today and sign up in any of PointsBet's live states with code PAGE to get 5 second chance bets up to $500. That's 5 straight days of second chances where PointsBet will match your losing wager in bet credits. Again, that's promo code PAGE and enjoy more live betting markets than ever before. PointsBet, your move. Call 1-800-GAMBLER for crisis counseling and referral services or visit www.1800gambler.net.
This is Playing Around with Paige Renee.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to the Playing Around podcast. You're here with your two favorite girls, Paige and Sam. And Sam has a birthday coming up, and I know this. Everyone should know this because she mentions it every 2 seconds. So, Sam, what are you doing for your birthday?
You know, it's funny because I feel like I mention it a lot, yet no one's really acting like it's my birthday coming up. I'm going to need you guys to start acting right because this is a little ridiculous. No, I'm turning 29, so it's really, you know, as you know, the 30 is the big one after you turn 21. It's like 21, 30, and then like 50. So I feel like this year doesn't really matter. But I was on a little attention wanting spree and have just been telling everybody that it's my birthday coming up. We are going to a all-inclusive resort down in South Florida. Super excited. I plan on literally doing nothing for like 3 days. And that sounds like the most ideal birthday to me.
I would agree. There are two types of people in this world. Birthday people and non-birthday people. I kind of fall a little in between. I'm not the biggest birthday person. There are girls who are like, it's my birthday month. I'm wearing the birthday sash, the birthday crown. Everyone's going to know it's my birthday. And that is not my favorite type of person. Not going to lie.
Well, yeah. Because all of those people do that same little thing with everything, right? It would be like, oh, it's Mother's Day. I have a dog. I'm a mother. That's also what that person is doing. It's annoying, but I'm excited. I asked my parents for LASIK, if you've been listening to this podcast.
Are they doing the BOGO, the buy one, get one free? Or are you gonna have to, are they doing the two eyes now? Because it was only one eye first.
Yeah, no, they still only want to pay for one eye. Which is insane to me considering they birthed me with eyes that don't work properly. So it's not really my fault.
How dare they? Honestly, how dare they?
They should be embarrassed. But, you know, it's whatever. It's fine. We'll see. Also, it's kind of on me because they keep asking me, have you gone and done like the little consulting or whatever where they tell you consultation? And I can't. And when am I supposed to do that? When am I supposed to have time to do that?
You're a working gal. You don't have time for that.
I also don't have time to not see. So I guess I need to pick my battles.
Seeing, working,
whatever.
I don't know. Well, let's just get right into the golf. Surprise to everyone, it was the first major championship for the women on the LPGA Tour. There was not a lot of coverage going into it, even during week of. It just didn't have that same spark as it did for the first championship of the year, which was always at Mission Hills, the Dinah Shore course, Poppy's Pond, everyone knows it well, and they changed courses this year. So now it's the Chevron Championship, and it's at Carlton Woods outside of Houston. You watched it. I watched very little of the tournament. I loved I loved when it was at Mission Hills. I love that golf course. I played there in junior golf, played there in college. Q school, the first stage of Q school is always there. There's just something special about that place, and obviously jumping into Poppy's Pond. And the change has been hard on me. I'm not good with change, but this one has been hard on me.
It's not a bad take. I feel like it was a very common take, especially when I was watching the ending of the tournament last night. And, you know, whenever I do watch live golf, which is not super frequently, I always refresh Twitter because I can't have any original thoughts of my own. I need to see what other people are thinking first. And so a lot of people were saying the same thing, just saying like new course, new tradition was needed. I think it was a little bit crazy, the things that they did to in order for the winner to be able to jump into the pond. Like,
so that's how I found out the tournament was happening. I saw someone post this itty bitty, like dinky little dock jumping into this like gator infested water. And it was sad. I was looking at it. I'm like, and it was tiny. Like, it was not big. It was this little block of wood painted with like Chevron Championship on it. They were running on it after, and you could see the thing like moving, and they didn't even secure it. And that's what rubbed me the wrong way. I was like, okay, I understand you want to keep some of the tradition because it's moving courses, but come up with a new tradition. If you can't do it as well as the original, then don't do it. Or if you can top them, then great, do it. But they had the opportunity to make this very grand and something that was even better than Poppy's Pond. And they just mailed it in. We're just like, we're going to put this block of wood on the water and just let them jump and see what happens.
Two thoughts there. One is that at the very end, Tom Abbott walks up and is interviewing Lilia Vu, who we'll talk about, you know, how she got to win here in a second. But at the very end of his interview, you know, he's like, so how do you feel? Like, did you think you were going to win? Whatever. And at the end, he goes, they told me to tell you, run all the way to the end of the dock and jump as far as you can off the dock. It was just like, it kind of was weird. It makes you think, okay, is it really shallow right there? Like, now she needs instructions to do it. We all remember Poppy's Pond was pretty shallow too. Like, when they jumped in and then stood up, I mean, they were at their waist. Like, you couldn't go, you jump straight legged in there, your legs are broken. And so, I don't know, I thought that was kind of weird, but then I
make a longer dock.
Yeah, like, it was so strange. And then I also kind of feel like Poppy's Pond was the tradition. Like, right? Like, the pond itself is what made the tradition. I don't know why we're trying to like recreate the tradition of a pond in a different pond. I don't know. That's what I didn't really understand.
It would be like moving the Masters to a completely different golf course and then presenting them with a purple jacket.
That's actually, you're very right.
Like, why do it? You know, do something different. So I jumped into Poppy's Pond because when I was at San Diego State, we had our conference championship there. And so as a team, my senior year, we won and we were able to jump in. And you're right, it is very shallow. It's kind of scary to jump in. It's not that much fun, but still, that was the tradition. And what do you think they should have done instead? I mean, they could have jumped in the water, but done like a bigger dock with stands behind it or like a bouncy castle. I don't know, like a slide, I think would have been kind of fun.
I think it should have been something not water related.
Organic.
Like completely different. I mean, yeah. This tournament moved, and yes, it's still a major championship, but like I said, the tradition was because of the old course. It wasn't because of the tournament, right?
And it happened because Amy Alcott won, saw water, jumped in, and was like, yay, this is exciting. And that's how it started. And so it started from something that was very authentic, and let this championship be something different and find something that has its spark, but trying to make it seem like Mission Hills was just not it at all.
Yeah. And I kept seeing people say, you know, it doesn't feel like a major. This feels weird. It's at a different course. And I'm like, okay, then do something different. I don't know. Maybe they should have had a different color, like jacket or blazer. I don't think really they do that in women's golf. They don't do any cool like jacket, do they?
Nope.
But they do it at like 7 tournaments for the men. So like maybe we start that tradition instead of jumping into a lake. Also, Lilia Vu was like, she said in her interview, she was like, I'm so cold. Like apparently it was cold yesterday too. And now they're making them jump in this gator infested pond. I don't know.
That would be the last thing that I would want to do after I win a championship is jump into water and then have to do interviews after that. Can you imagine, like, your mascara is like dripping down your face. You look like a wet dog. You're cold.
Yeah.
Not for me. If I won, which would never happen, but if I did by chance win, I wouldn't jump in. I would simply refuse.
I mean, I think you would make more headlines by not jumping in. So it is a strategy for sure.
Or just like wear all white.
No. Oh my God. So anyway, to the golf. Angel Yin bogeyed 16 and 17, kind of ejected. Then birdied 18 to get into a playoff. There was some, what do they call it? Like backstop gate situation going on the last hole, which it was with somebody who didn't have a chance to get into the playoffs. So it was fine, but they have, you know, the stands surrounding 18 as normal. This girl hits it into the stands. Not only does she hit it like up, this thing would have gone at least 50 yards over the green. Like, I don't know how she misclubbed it so bad. It gets stuck like in the stands up by people's feet. And the drop zone is damn near on the green. What's up with that?
That's ridiculous. Simply ridiculous.
I don't know where else they would have put it, but it felt watching it, seeing how far over that ball was going over the green, and then she gets to drop like 3 feet off the green, didn't sit right with me.
The rules of golf make me insane because they don't make any sense. At all. Did you see that story of a guy who was playing on the mini tours and he took a shuttle, which was provided, someone was driving by and was like, hey, I'm part of the tournament. I'm doing the shuttle service and I can take you to the next hole. Well, apparently you can't do that. And he got a penalty. It was a 2-stroke penalty, I believe. And he's like done. Like it completely ruined. He can't play. He like lost his card or there was, I should have done more research before, but I just saw it and it applied to the story in my head. But anyways, it really fucked him over and it was because of the rules of golf and it doesn't make sense. How can you hit it 60 yards over into stands, drop it by the green and be okay, but then you take a shuttle, which has no benefit to your game, to your score, except for pace of play, which we know is already a problem. And that is a 2-stroke penalty. Make it make sense, Sam. Make it make sense.
There's a lot of stuff that in golf that give me the energy of like the guy who is standing outside of the airport where you're supposed to pick people up in the pickup line. And he's like taking his job way too seriously. That's what I kind of feel like the rules of golf give me the same energy as sometimes. I mean, it is interesting though, like my boyfriend plays golf for fun. He definitely is not any good at it and doesn't really know any of the rules. It makes me think about it a lot. We'll be watching TV and she hits it into the stands and he goes, well, what does she do? And I go, well, normally you would, you know, drop it straight down from where she hit it. And then you would get no closer to the hole relief, 2 club lengths, like that kind of thing. And I was like, but there's a drop zone, like damn near on the green. And he's like, well, why did they do that? And I'm like,
you're like, I don't know.
I can't even think of the words to, yeah, it's kind of funny when you get into that situation, kind of when you're teaching somebody golf, like it makes you think about things in a different way. And it, you know, we are just so used to the rules. Like when she hit it in the water, when Angel Yin hit it in the water on the playoff hole, he was like, well, where does she drop it? And I'm like, oh my God, I know where to drop it, but like, how do I explain it? And so many of the rules are just...
Well, then you have red hazards, yellow hazards, the difference there. I mean, you can go on and on with the rules of golf and they keep trying to simplify it, but it's making it worse for me because everything I learned, now I have to relearn and then I can't explain it to anyone else.
It's tough. And I mean, the shuttle thing, yeah, I think there were multiple people that like those 2 shots cost them the tournament and their card. And I did see, then again, they retroactively penalized people after they penalized that one guy, which is also something that I think should not be allowed. Like once you sign your scorecard and you're done, like you can't then go back and penalize somebody for something, not saying that they got away with it, but like you can't do that. That's messed up to me.
Or in slow play, when there's one group or one person in your group that's playing slow, they penalize the entire group, not just that one person at first.
Yeah, that's bad.
It's interesting. So Angel Yin, I remember her from junior golf. Actually, both of them, they were much younger than me, but Angel was a phenom. I remember seeing her my junior or senior year. There was an AJGA tournament at Moon Valley, and Angel's very tall, and she was, I believe, 11 or 12 at that time. And she was like taller than me, like stronger, and she was hitting the ball in front of me. I looked at my mom and I'm like, I can't compete with this. The sound off of her club face was so incredibly impressive. She ended up shooting like under par all three rounds. I ended up crying after every round. Hated that golf course, never suited me. But the level of talent that she came out onto the scene with, and it's continuing to play so well, it is truly impressive. When you see those junior golfers, you know that they're going to be special. Were there a couple names for you that when you saw them in the field as a junior golfer, you're like, okay, I know that they're going to go on to be really great one day?
Yeah, and I think that that's what's so interesting about our age group. Both the men and the women, like, we grew up with these people. Like, we would see them every weekend on the road at tournaments. And like, I always knew that Gabby Fenn growing up was going to win if she was at that tournament. Yu Liu, who's on the LPGA tour now, like, just a bunch of girls who you see them and you're like, that you check the roster of who's playing before you're playing and you see them and you're like, fuck.
Yeah.
Like, or I guess I'm playing for second, like, which is such a bad like way to think about it. But there were, I mean, think about how the guys were growing up, Jordan Spieth, Justin Thomas. Like,
the thing that was interesting, though, and I think a lot of parents who have aspiring golfers that are listening to this podcast should keep in mind that, yes, there were a handful of phenoms, but there were a ton of really big names who ended up not making it. More than not, that's what happened. I remember Kimberly Kim was one of the biggest hot shots, really great player, and she just didn't have the passion to continue to play. But when she was 14, she was winning everything. She hit it a mile. And Danielle Frazier ended up playing at Stanford. There was just like a bunch of names of people who you thought they were going to be great, but they never, you know, it just didn't really add up. So again, junior golf and college golf really doesn't matter in the grand scheme of all of it. I wish going back that there wasn't so much pressure on me as a junior golfer and there wasn't so much pressure on me as a college golfer. And I think I would have thrived a lot more playing professionally because I wouldn't have been so burnt out. You start this at most, like Angel Yin, 11, 12, doing the whole junior golf scene. And it's like you're on tour. You're playing so many tournaments throughout the summer. Same thing with college golf. You're doing college golf in season and then amateur golf throughout the summer. It is a lot on you and it takes a toll. And most of the time you have to sacrifice your childhood or personal life. And I think that a lot of parents need to almost take a step back and realize it's not about chasing junior golf scoreboard and it's not about getting the full ride scholarship. It's about personal growth as a golfer and taking your game to the next level and what you need to do personally to do so.
I think that's a great take. And I think on the flip side, though, think about the people's names who we see on the leaderboard now that were no one growing up, right? Like there's a ton of that too. It goes both ways. But I'm curious, what I was thinking of when you were just saying that was, how do you feel like in college, the team aspect impacted you, if it did? Because I felt like when I got to college, we never really talked about what it meant to compete as a team because golf is still an individual sport, which is what makes it so weird. Like, yeah, you're trying to shoot the best score that you can, but you also need three other girls to be firing on all cylinders at the same time. You can't do anything about that, but then you're trying to win the individual event. I feel like it just was something you're thrown into in college and you're just kind of expected to just do your own thing. But then when you don't do your own thing at the right time, it's like, you know what I mean?
It's really difficult because you're playing as an individual. You want to do well individually. You have to contribute to the team and you need everyone to play well. So if you were the one person who didn't play well, you felt like you let the whole team down. But at the same time, you're also fighting for your spot within the team. And I think the dynamic in college is very confusing for a lot of junior golfers to just be thrown into that because we have never done team play before. But we have to do qualifying and then it's really competitive within your team to see who the five players are going to be. And most of the time, you know, one through three is pretty much set, but there's also the bottom that is really competitive and it's hard to get into that. And so you look at your teammates as competitors and you want to play and you're having to compete against them. And then the next day your teammates, and I think having a really great coach can ease you into that and make it fun and competitive and bring your game to the next level. But I think a lot of junior golfers struggle in college because at least when I was playing, there weren't a lot of really great college coaches for women's golf. And you would see people transfer all the time because they didn't really quite gel in with the college coach. I also think it's a product of the environment of signing so early. You have pressure to sign immediately. And if you don't sign right away, then you're seen as if you are not one of the top prospects. And so I felt so much pressure to sign right away. And I didn't take my time to visit all the different schools and to meet with different coaches and to meet with the teams and to find the best fit for me. That just wasn't a thing. It was like, you need to sign now, you need to get your spot, and you need to get a full ride. And that was it. And that was so much pressure on someone to make a massive decision at age 16.
It's crazy looking back on it. Like, I look at my initial signing picture and I'm like, I'm a child. Like, I am literally a child. How did I know that that was the decision that I was supposed to be making? Which, newsflash, spoiler alert, both of us transferred. So clearly maybe take a little bit of extra time on that one. But what I think is interesting is the point that you made about how you go from competing against each other to then competing on the golf course. And something that is also interesting is that golf is one of the few sports in college where you are not necessarily taking technical advice from your college coach, right? Like, my roommates were gymnasts and I was at a wedding with them last weekend and I was asking them about this. I said, so when you go to college, is that coach now like who's teaching you your routines, who's like fixing you technically, telling you to point your toes? And they're like, well, yeah, of course. What do you mean? And I'm like, well, that's not really how it is in college golf. Like, maybe for emergency fixes or like, hey, your alignment's messed up or whatever. But for the most part, I would say the majority of people still go to their swing coach. And I think that it just makes an interesting dynamic for the college coach is more like a logistics, you know, kind of ringleader, so to speak, to get all the girls at the same place at the same time. I mean, yeah, like, don't get me wrong, my coaches were amazing at Arkansas and they really valued, and if I needed them to help me with something in my swing act, they would, but all of us still relied on our swing coaches from home.
100%. I want to revisit something I said because I didn't mean that they were bad.
Yeah.
I think that the job is just very difficult because of that reason.
Oh, yeah.
Because you have, usually it's around 8 to 10 girls on a team. 10's pretty high. Sometimes it's like 8 or 9. And they all have different swing coaches, all different philosophies, all different practice schedules, and it's just different. And so the coach has to pick and choose how they're going to practice, what the schedule is going to be like, how to individualize it for each person. And that is so incredibly difficult to do. And that's why you have to find a coach that really understands you and has the same philosophy as you. If you like to practice and you need to find a coach that will set a ton of drills up for you. If you like to play a lot, then you need to find a coach that understands that. And that's, again, goes back to taking the time during your recruiting process to find a coach that works best for you. Because if you find someone that just doesn't work with your mentality, it's going to be a very rough 4 years.
And I think too, it's when you look at the top programs in the country, at least when we were in school, most of them, this is a hot take and might not be like a widely known thing, most of them don't have team practices or didn't have team practices, because when they recruited you, they liked what you were when they were recruiting you. And then when you get there, they're not trying to change what you're doing because clearly that player is already good enough. So if you take someone in an individual sport who's used to practicing on their own, playing on their own, maybe with their parents or with a sibling, and then you throw them into this, like, here's a list of all the practice drills you have to do today, they're going to be like, what the fuck? And they're not going to thrive and play the same level of golf that they would when you recruited them. So I think it's, for me, when I transferred to Arkansas, I knew that Shauna was an incredible coach and she set up really cool practices. And like, for me, that worked because I am like a squirrel and get bored after 5 seconds. So like I needed all of that. But for me too, it was finding someone who I could go to for advice, who I could talk to about anything, who was more like, sounds weird, but more of like a mom that, you know, moved so far away and that somebody that I can trust. And so we got off on a really intense like college golf tangent here, but I think it's all this stuff is really important if you have a child or know somebody who's considering college golf.
100%. And I think it's something that we do need to talk more about, I think, in future episodes as well, because we do have such a strong playing background compared to a lot of different golf podcasts. We have been in the thick of it, and we know what it's like to play junior golf at extremely high level, to play D1 college golf, and to, you know, I tried to play professionally, and it's different at every single level, and it comes with all of the struggles. And most of the time people aren't talking about that because they haven't been through it. And we have both been through it. So I think we have a lot of knowledge to share.
You're a growing business, which means you need every spare hour you can find. That's why the most successful growing businesses are working together in Slack. Slack is where work happens, with all your people, data, and information in one AI-powered place. Start a call instantly in huddles and ditch cumbersome calendar invites. Or build an automation with Workflow Builder to take routine tasks off your plate. No coding required. Grow your business in Slack. Visit slack.com to get started.
Spectrum One is a big deal. You get Spectrum Internet with the most reliable internet speeds, free advanced Wi-Fi for enhanced security and privacy, and a free Spectrum Mobile Unlimited line with nationwide 5G included, all while saving big. For the big speed, big reliability, and big savings you want, get Spectrum One. Just $49.99 a month for 12 months. Visit spectrum.com/bigdeal for full details. Offer subject to change. Valid for qualified residential customers only. Service not available in all areas. Restrictions apply.
Win money betting on golf this year. Betting on golf is fun, but picking winners isn't easy. BetSports Golf has the data, tools, and experts to turn your Sundays into paydays. Members get in-depth articles, research tools, and our team's picks each and every week. If you had bet $100 on every wager the BetSports Golf team had recommended last year, you'd be up nearly $10,000. For a limited time, you can head to BetSportsGolf.com to get a special price on a year-long subscription.
Let's move on to the PGA Tour. It was a team event at the Zurich Classic, and a swag ambassador, you guys know that I work with swag. Nick Hardy is an ambassador, and he won with Davis Riley, which is really exciting. They birdied 4 of their last 6 holes. I love events like this. I think it's really fun to have team events, something that's a little bit different with the everyday, just mundane, same tournament week in and week out can get a little tiresome. And so to throw this in, it's one of my favorite events. I wish that either they had this on the women's side or that women were involved in this event.
Well, we know they're doing that, right? Like some other new event is starting up with the men and the women, which is going to be incredible.
Yes.
I will say, I think I heard more about the women's event this weekend than the PGA Tour event. I probably heard more about the LIV event than I heard about both of them. But I think Patrick Cantlay and Xander Schauffele, we know they're like besties for the resties and they do everything together. They go on vacations and it's so cute. They were definitely the biggest named team at this event. They didn't play great. I'm sure they were exhausted from the Masters stretch moving forward. But I think it was a little unfortunate that because they weren't playing well, this tournament and Nick and Davis's win didn't get as much attention.
I agree. I didn't even know they won until I was looking at swag and they posted a congratulations to Nick Hardy. And I was like, oh my God, that's awesome. Again, too much golf. At some point, there just is too much golf and it's hard to stay up with it week in and week out. And I think it would be really nice if they let the women's majors live on its own. Maybe work with the PGA Tour and have that week off for them. And so that way everyone can focus on watching the women. That's a hot take of mine.
I have never loved anything you said out of your mouth more than that. That was a great take.
Timestamp this moment in history.
Yeah, we need to do that. But speaking of the LIV event,
it was
wild.
Electric.
Dare I say, I wish I was there.
It looked like so much fun. It was in Australia. And then at the live event, which was really cool, is they tried to make it like the waste management of the Stadium 16. They had a par 3 called the Watering Hole, which was just insane. Chase Koepka, Brooks Koepka's brother, who's better known by, he made a hole in one, and beers were flowing and flying. It was awesome. Everyone was hyped up.
Yeah, that is definitely our shot of the week presented by Club Champion. Right when we saw it, it was all over Instagram, all over Twitter. It got some hella views and likes on Instagram. Did you see the numbers on that thing?
It was crazy. Everyone was sharing it, watching it. It was really cool to see that type of environment on the golf course. And compared to, I think, other events, no one was like saying, no, you can't do that. Like, they were just like, be as crazy and wild as you guys wanted, which was really interesting. I think there's some good and bad to that. But the shot was great. Shot of the week from Club Champion. And as always, guys, you want to have the trust and belief in your equipment. So go get fit at Club Champion, and you guys can use my code PAGE for a discount.
So do you remember that comedian that you sent me that time, Bert Kreischer?
Yeah.
He was at the tournament and did a shoey and posted it on his social media. And I was like, this is apparently the place to be. There were Australian celebs, like, the stands were packed. We saw one of our friends posted a picture from the concert the night before the tournament. You couldn't move in there.
Yeah, the concert was like, it looked like bigger than Coachella from the videos that I was seeing. It was a packed, packed crowd. I can't stress like how many people were actually there. It was impressive.
So do we think that the PGA Tour Live controversy, rivalry, whatever you want to call it, is kind of like an American made-up thing just to be dramatic? Because clearly, they don't care about it as much over there.
It's interesting. And I think that LIV is picking up a lot of steam right now. One, because of how well the players did at the Masters. And there wasn't that much drama, it felt like, between LIV versus PGA Tour. It just felt like they were coexisting in a really nice way. And then you go straight into this tournament, which was insane. I would say one thing that was a little bit frustrating to see on social media is that people were giving bad takes and saying that the live event wasn't that wild. And it was too, I saw someone say that music playing constantly made it less serious. It was such an odd take. And I feel like people are saying certain things to stay on the PGA Tour's good side, and they're just not being honest about what is what. And I think that's really frustrating to me, is that people just aren't honest, and they're always trying to push one way or the other to like seem like the good little child, you know, to the PGA Tour. And why can't we just be honest and be like, yeah, that event was awesome. And the PGA Tour event was awesome. They can both be awesome, and that's great for golf. That is great for golf. If one is doing good and the other one's doing good, you're lifting each other up, and we're seeing that now. We saw it at the Masters, and I'm just so sick of like this head-to-head stuff. I'm like, both are good. We're over it. Both are good. They're lifting each other up, making golf better, growing the game of golf, and that's what we want.
I think that what you just said is like an overall sentiment of everyone on social media nowadays. Like, that just, they have to argue about everything. They can't just let something be. They can't just see something and scroll past if they don't agree with it. Everything has to be an argument or a debate or a snarky comment. And it's just, it's exhausting. One thing that I think is funny is Siwon Kim is the guy who came in last at the live event. I've been seeing some rumblings about him recently on Twitter saying like, God, this guy sucks. He's always in last, yet he's still making like millions of dollars playing on live. He shot 14 over. Okay. His scores for the 3 days were 84, 71, 75. Same guy.
But think about with sports, you see it firsthand. So you see their score and you know what they make. Think about how many people are just absolute shit at their jobs and they still get paid. So if you can get paid and still be shit at your job, so many people are doing that. I have met some very influential people, CEOs, and you meet them. You're like, how do you have this job? How are you doing what you're doing? Because it doesn't make sense. You're not that smart. I don't understand how you got in this position. It's the same thing. You just don't have like the actual score to quantify how bad that person actually is.
And it's interesting with Liv too, the team versus individual aspect. I think it's the shotgun start still trips me up a little because you'll be.
Yeah, I don't like that.
I don't like it either. You'll be watching on TV and it'll say three holes to go. And it's like, okay, but everyone's on a different hole. And I don't know, that part I don't really love about it. I understand they're trying to like get it done in 4 hours or whatever it is, but that's the one thing that I'm not super enthusiastic about. The four aces back on top of the team leaderboard, which again, I still don't know how that works. It's by points. I'm still confused by that, but.
You know what, Sam, before we get into some TNA, speaking of slow play.
Oh God.
I just have to make a little comment real quickly because I kept my mouth quiet on Twitter. And since then, so I tweeted about slow play and I basically said that the rule book says you have 40 seconds to hit your shot. If you can't in 40 seconds, you should get penalized. It's in the rule books. It is in the rule books, people. And so if you can't do it, you should be penalized. It's not that hard to comprehend. And Nate Lashley, he is a PGA Tour player. He won at the Rocket Mortgage years ago. He tweeted at me. He said, I don't like slow play at all, but these courses are very difficult and there's a lot on the line. If, and he tagged me, Paige Spranick would have played professionally at a higher level, she would understand. But I don't think most people are watching these videos to see what she has to say. Next day, Matt Fitzpatrick comes out and he says, slow play is ridiculous. They need to do something about it. They interviewed Patrick Cantlay. He said, I'm only slow because no one is doing anything about it. There have been multiple players on the PGA Tour who have come out and said that this is a serious issue and they need to fix it. So for Nate Lashley to be honestly quite sexist about it and to come after me when this was not that hot of a take, everyone is in agreement that slow play needs to be fixed, is not okay. And Nate Lashley, probably a slow player. He is probably the problem.
That's what I was about to say. Anybody defending it is probably because they don't want it to change because they're part of the problem. We talked about this last week, so I mean, but I just keep going back to like shot clocks and how damn near every other sport has them and or a timer or a clock of some sort, but not this sport, not golf. And I just think that that tweet was quite interesting coming from.
It gave me the same energy of like, I hate slow play, but, or I'm a nice person, but, and then says something horrendous, or they like say these things and it's like, but, and it's like, you just exposed yourself for being that person by saying you're not that person. It's like when you look at someone in their bio and it's like, be kind, and they are the worst possible human being ever. It's like things like that, or they have like a Bible verse and then they're like commenting to me like, you whore. Or they have like a dog as their profile picture and they're like, burn in hell.
I will say, speaking of the butt thing, this is actually something that my therapist taught me years ago, was that when you say the word but, when you say, like if you're saying something and I go, yeah, but, that means that I already disregarded everything that you said and I'm thinking about what to say next in argumentation. And so let's all take that as a therapy lesson of the day, folks. If you're arguing with your significant other, arguing with someone on Twitter, maybe find a different way to say that because it's very disrespectful.
But Sam, I...
But Sam, yeah. One of these, which you can't see on audio, but I gave her the finger.
She flipped me the birdie. So let's move on to TNA. I think that's a good wrap
up there. These are pretty easy compared to our weird ones last week. I have been thinking about the make every putt on every green or hit every green debate, and I think that you're right.
Now, clearly.
All right. Okay. Sassmaster. Coming in hot for a Monday morning, I will say. If you could travel anywhere in the world, where would you go and why? Like right now, if you could just get on a plane and go right now.
I'd go back to Australia.
Really?
Yeah. I really enjoyed it there. And it was all work. So I want to go and just have a vacation. But I want to go back and experience all of it. And have a longer period of time. But yeah, I loved Australia. I can't stress how much I loved Australia.
And at first when we were there and you were saying that to people, I was like, oh yeah, she's just saying that because she says like, you know, trying to people please. Like, yeah, it's great. We love your country. And then as we were there, I was like, wow, no, this place is actually great. I think she means it.
Yeah, truly mean it. What, how about you?
I would go to one of those little bungalows in the Maldives, or like, I know.
Oh, I've seen those where it's like they have the long walkway and then just like the little.
Yep.
Oh my gosh. I've been dying to go there too.
They have those in other places, I'm learning too. I guess I've always seen them on, and they're in the Maldives, like if it's on Instagram or whatever. But apparently they have them like just south of Miami. My parents are going literally on their way to Bora Bora right now, and they're staying in one. So,
but they can't buy you a second eye.
Yeah, they can't buy me a second eye. And they've also, okay, this is a random tangent. They've missed every birthday since I was like 3 years old. For some reason, my dad's, this insurance company that he reps, he's a financial planner. Their conference is always the last week of April into the first week of May. So they would fly me to my grandparents to go hang out. That way I could be like with someone. And they've missed like every birthday of my life.
Well, forever. It makes sense, because if that was the only free week he's ever had in his entire life, now you know when you were conceived as well. So,
okay. Anyway, choose not to think about that. Gross. How do you incorporate exercise and nutrition into your busy schedule? And what tips do you have to others for maintaining a healthy lifestyle? This was a podcast DM question.
I just posted about this on OP, so you guys can go check out my subscription site where I talk a little bit more about it, give some more recipes, gonna be doing more fitness content. But I've been starting to do something recently that's been helping, is I write down everything I'm going to eat the night before, and I just eat that the next day. I think sometimes when you have a busy schedule, and for me, when I'm given so many options, I tend to pick bad things. Something I, you know, because it's like you're just craving, you're like, oh, this is easy, I'll just order pizza. But if I look at the night before and I have all of my meals just kind of written out for me, it's like I know when I'm going to have my protein shake or my smoothie in the morning, and then I'll have my chicken or I'll have this. And then that's been something that's been really helping me. It just kind of takes the thought process out of it, and you just see food as more as fuel, which I really like as an intuitive eater. That really helps me. And then finding exercises or workouts that are fun and mixing it up. I think you can get stuck doing the same thing over and over again. And so finding new workout classes, especially if you're traveling, finding a new studio or just doing different things will keep you motivated. But I think just switching your thinking around about it, I think there's just so many toxic thoughts that can come in. It's like you have to eat well because you have to look good and fit the society standard of what you should look like. And in reality, you should be eating well to fuel yourself to feel better, to give you more energy to be able to do what you want to do and to live a longer, happier life. And so just changing your thinking around it and not being so tough on yourself is something that really works.
I think that's incredible advice. And I think that goes, that same thing that you said at the beginning about planning ahead goes into a lot of aspects of your life. Like I follow this TikToker, his name's Leo Skeppy. Have you seen him?
Like, yeah.
Okay. So I'm obsessed with him. First of all, if you're going to listen to any other podcast, his podcast is great. And he talks about on TikTok about how like using your energy, because energy and time are like, you know, one and the same, using your energy towards things that matter, right? So like at the beginning of every week, putting 5 shirts in your closet, knowing this is what I'm going to wear Monday through Friday. That way, when you wake up in the morning, your energy is not spent on what the fuck do I wear? It's spent on like, what do I need to do today? What deliverables do I need to meet for work? Like, and that's the same thing as you were saying, like if you plan that the night in advance, then your energy is no longer being spent on that. And it's being spent on the other things that are more worth your time. So I think that this kind of goes into the next question that I was going to ask, was what's something that you're currently working on improving about yourself? Because my answer is my morning routine and figuring out, like, if I set my clothes out the night before, I don't know why it gives me such a sense of relief in the morning of like, oh my God, I don't have to think about what shirt to wear. And I wear the same black leggings every day, not the same pair, but like, I don't know why. It's just when I go into my closet, it's so overwhelming. And if I can just prepare a little bit in advance the night before, I feel like my next day and the morning is so much easier.
That's really interesting, because I've been seeing that thought process so much more with my friends, with people, successful people that I am meeting. It's taking all of those different choices out. And so you can really focus in on what you want to do, because it can be quite overwhelming when you're like, what do I have to wear? And what am I going to eat? And where am I going? And all these things. And when you plan it all out, it's actually not that overwhelming. And you start to realize how much more time you have throughout the day when you're not stressing out over those little things that you can just easily fix like the night before. I think for me, one thing that I want to try to improve on is everyone knows I'm a people pleaser, and that's still something that I struggle with, is people's perception of me and things that I'm doing. And I want to just keep moving forward and progressing. I think sometimes I'm held back by other people's opinions, and I don't take as many big risks maybe in my content or in my business, because I never want to alienate my original, you know, group of people, or I don't want to do something that people don't consider, you know, quote unquote, page, or like that it doesn't embody the content that I've normally created. And so I want to push myself more creatively. And to do so, I think I have to let go of people's opinions of me and the type of content that they're expecting me to create.
Well, what are you actually doing to work on that? Because I think that that's something that a lot of people struggle with. But to say like, okay, I'm just going to not care what people think, like that's so much harder than it is.
It's taking that first step and writing, producing, and editing content in the way that I want to. And this has been a very long journey, because I've needed to build trust within my partners to be able to have this type of creative freedom. Most of the time you are confined by the restrictions that they have. And so now it's easy to break free and to do the content that I want to do. But I've been trying to put out at least one or two pieces of content that is not typical to something that I would normally do. And just, it's trial and error, and just to see. And I would always fear it not doing well, because all of my content does really well. And so if maybe the engagement isn't as high as another piece of content, or if, you know, there's not as many likes or as not as many comments, that would really bother me. And so now I just put it out there. And if it does well, great. And if it doesn't, okay, you're putting something out the next day. Like it's not life or death. And I think sometimes in this industry and as a content creator, you get so focused in on every little piece of content, every single detail. And sometimes you just got to put it out there. And so that's what I've been doing, is trying just to put out more content, no matter if it's going to do good or bad. There's always a little bit of a gain with each piece of content, and just knowing that.
It's like exposure therapy that they do with people with like intense phobias. Yeah. It is though, like yeah. Just kind of doing it and getting more used to that feeling, right? Like, and I think that that goes for everything we talked about in the last 10 minutes, is like the last thing I want to do when I get in bed is get up and put my clothes out for the next day. But doing it, Then I remember how I'm going to feel the next morning and how much more relief. It's just, you know, forward thinking almost, is like, how am I going to feel about this later, and taking that chance. Last question. This is kind of random. What's a hobby or activity that you always wanted to try but haven't yet?
Oh, pottery. I have been dying to do pottery.
Why did you? You've been thinking about that one.
I have been. So when I started therapy, my therapist said one thing that I really need to improve on is getting hobbies, because my whole life is focused on my main priority at the time. And so when I was younger, it was gymnastics. And then when I got a little bit older, it was golf. And then after that, now it's my job working. And I fixate on just that. And so to be a well-rounded person and to not be so obsessive about one thing that you're doing, you need to have hobbies. And I told her from the very start that I've always wanted to do pottery, and I still haven't done it. It's been, you know, a couple of years now, so I need to do that. But I love watching pottery videos. I'll watch them on YouTube and TikTok and Instagram. I just find it really fascinating, and I find it also relaxing to watch other people do it, and it's something that I wanted to do. And I think it would be, I have a hard time making friends. I don't have friends in the golf industry or influencer friends. I just don't, because it's really hard to meet people, and it's always about, you know, climbing the ladder and who do you know? And it's like this competition. So it's been really hard for me to make friends. But I'm also thinking too, that if I go to these places that is interesting to me, I'll find like-minded people, and I can have friends outside of this, you know, little bubble that, you know, I live in, which can be quite overwhelming at times.
That was a very insightful answer. I feel like this last 15 minutes has been like a therapy session.
I know. I love it. We should start charging by the hour.
I love that answer. You know, they have a pottery painting place near my house. So
I've seen those. Yeah.
It's not like the making of the pottery, but I think it's really cool, because the paint that you use is all water-based. And so I don't know, a painting kind of intimidates me because I'm like, I'm going to get on my clothes and it's going to get my hair. But this is all like just water-based paint. So you get it all over your clothes. It just washes out. That is so fun. You can make like mugs or plates or whatever. So we do that pretty frequently. For me, I would say I've been reading a ton. That's kind of like my hobby right now because I kind of struggle winding down at night or like yeah. I'll watch TikToks for an hour and it's like, okay, that's not the way to like go to bed. And, you know, so I'm trying to put my phone away a little bit earlier and just read until I fall asleep. And I've been reading, you know, probably like a book every 2 or 3 days. And that I feel like is a great way for me to get out of my head and you know, immerse myself in this plot that's, you know, I'm making up in my head how the writer's trying to write it. And so other than that, I would say I really would like to play more golf, which sounds insane that like that would be the hobby that I want to try. But I feel like I haven't tried it in a recreational, like weekend player, play for fun with a group of friends. I haven't really committed and done that at all. And so I would say that right now, I think that that's something that I want to put a little bit more time in, especially with the weather. I mean, obviously it's going to be hot as shit here for the next few months, but my boyfriend wants to start practicing more and like learning how to actually hit the golf ball well. And so I think if I have somebody to do it with, that would be fun.
It's really hard to find a good group of people to play golf with. That's something that I've always struggled with. And I think especially when people know you're playing background, they either expect you to be really good or they're always coming to you about rules questions or how to improve. And it's hard to find a very like relaxed group of players who just want to go out there and hit and giggle. And I noticed that it's mostly ex-professional players or college players or who played at a high level and they just don't have that passion anymore. But yeah, I can't find like a good group of people that I like really enjoy the game and playing with because it's always like a competition or you're betting for money or all that stuff. And sometimes I just want to go and just hit for fun and not always have it be a competition or we're playing for money.
You're definitely right, though. The people that I have found that I want to play golf with, like you or our friend Alexandra, like we're all ex like really good golfers. And so we don't expect anything of ourselves nor each other. And so I will say that I think playing with my mom's friends is really fun because any shot that I hit is like the best shot they've ever like, seen in their lives. And so that I think is fun. And I should probably do more of that. What's interesting, though, is I'm a junior member at my club. So I can't play in any of the like stuff, the member guest or the club championship. I can't until I pay full dues and they can get all the money they can out of me. They, you know, I can't play in that stuff. So that's kind of annoying. But, you know, I should prioritize playing more. But then this whole like work thing gets in the way. You know,
yeah, that's tough. But it was when last thing I'll say, and we'll probably go on a tangent on this one as well. But one thing that's holding me back from going to do pottery is that I've never done it before and I'm a bit uncomfortable going to new places and being in certain environments around people who know what they're doing. And I think a lot of people feel the same feeling that I'm feeling when it comes to getting into golf. And I've noticed with certain things that I'm doing, I've slowly been starting to get more into fashion. And then you're watching certain videos or people talk about it who know, you know, the ins and outs of the industry. And they're saying that something I just bought is chuggy and not cute and all this stuff. And it's so discouraging because I'm like, I thought I'd bought this thinking that this was a great investment or this was something that was really cute and I like it. And then people are telling me that they don't like it. Or I'm worried that if I go to do this pottery class that I'm going to disrupt other people because I'm going to be the one asking questions. I don't know what to do, or I'm going to feel silly or stupid. And I need to take my advice because I'm always telling people to go out there and try new things and do new things. And I just need to do it. I need to go and do it.
I will say, yeah, well, you do need to just do it. And going back to what you said earlier about not caring what other people think, I think it's interesting about pottery is unless you like grew up somebody who did pottery all the time, everyone in that class, quote unquote class, has probably felt exactly how you feel.
Yeah.
Right? Like every golfer, except us who started when we were like young, but I know so many people who started over COVID or have started in the last few years who probably were just as intimidated and now they're just fine. But one thing that I will say on the pottery class kind of golf situation is I got this question the other day in my Instagram DMs, and I thought it was very interesting. Somebody said, well, how did you meet your boyfriend? And for me, it was online, which I got super lucky. Like, it was just a little swipe and then we were good. Super lucky. But I think something that people need to be more cognizant of in this world of dating apps, which, like you said, we're going to go on another tangent, is an alternative to dating apps is going and doing things that you want to do with your partner and meeting people there, right? Like if you love going to coffee shops and that's like your best Saturday morning, Sunday morning thing, and you're single, go sit at a coffee shop. Try to meet other people who are doing the things that you want to do rather than trying to meet people who you don't necessarily have something in common with. If you love to play golf and you're single, go to the driving range on the weekends. See who else is there by themselves. Like, go do the things that you want to do with your partner, and maybe you'll meet the partner there.
Yeah, that's really great advice. And because I've been seeing everywhere now, and even my friends are like, dating apps are so difficult, and there's not like a lot of quality on them anymore, and people aren't really searching for real relationships. And if you're at that point in your life where you do want a real relationship, I've noticed too that within my own relationship, we just have so many things in common. And so we just tend to, you know, love to do those things together. But he has different interests and then he introduces me to them. At the same time, we love playing golf. We love doing all these things. And so it's like, we met on the golf course, go to a golf course, you know, and you see someone there, start a conversation at the gym or whatever. But it's difficult because sometimes like you just want to go and not be bothered. But then other times you want to go and you want to meet people. So it's really hard. It's hard being a human being.
We'll leave you with that because damn, it's hard being a human being sometimes.
Yeah. Especially for Sam seeing out of one eye.
Shit. We'll see what happens next week. And then my parents are throwing me like a little birthday dinner. My birthday and Cinco de Mayo being in the same week are like
deadly.
God knew what he was doing basically. So they're throwing me this little dinner. I'm going to be gone on Friday. So they're throwing it for me on Thursday the 4th, which y'all can all come. But I feel like they're going to be like, well, we threw you that party, so that was your birthday present. And I'm like, God damn it. And so now I'm like, I don't even think I'm going to get one eye, to be honest with you. So we'll see.
No. Okay. We'll need an update next week to see how it goes.
The last thing we'll say, let's talk about the new merch.
Yes. I dropped new merch. If you need balls.
What an interesting way.
We got balls for you. I don't know.
How about let's go with the bathtub picture that Paige.
Whole thing was got balls. So I was trying to find a way to lead into that. But you guys love the bathtub picture so much of me covered in golf balls. And so we decided to do a towel and other fun products, t-shirts, hats, a wall decal if you guys actually don't play golf and just, you know, want the picture. But we've been trying to do as much merch as possible. You guys have been asking for. So that is out and ready for you guys to go buy. You can find it on my website, pagesprannick.com. And you guys, as always, thank you so much for listening. Go subscribe. Leave us 5 stars. Write us a nice review. I was doing so well. And then
good. And then I saw the fear in your eyes.
That fear is when I'm like, okay, Sam, jump in. You need to wrap it up. You have like anchor experience. You know how to do this.
I do. But I think you were doing great.
Okay, now it's your turn.
Thanks for listening to another. Okay, let me try again. Thanks for listening to another episode of the Playing Around podcast with Paige and Sam. We are here every week, Monday or Tuesdays or Wednesday, sometime at the beginning of the week. Be sure to like, subscribe, follow us on Instagram, leave us 5 stars. You know what to do. Your 2 favorite girls. Peace out.
Follow Playing Around with Paige Renee on iHeartRadio or subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts.
Do you want to improve your game faster and hit your driver longer? The good news is ShotScope can help you achieve your goals. ShotScope has products for every golfer, such as GPS watches, laser rangefinders, and shot tracking devices designed to lower scores and improve your golf by over 4 shots on average. I use the Pro LX Plus rangefinder on the course to get my distances. What I love most about ShotScope is tracking my game and reviewing my stats. The great news is your personalized stats are completely free with no yearly subscription. If I can use it, anyone can. Jump over to ShotScope.com today and find the perfect product for you. And remember to use my code PAGE at checkout.
Let's clear out winter and clean up the lawn with Spring Black Friday savings at the Home Depot. Right now, get the Ryobi One Plus leaf blower for just $89 and make your lawn work easier with a powerful 90 miles an hour of clearing power. And with convenient online shopping, you can order on the app, pick up in store, and get outside sooner. Get your yard spring ready with the Ryobi One Plus leaf blower, now just $89 during Spring Black Friday at the Home Depot. How doers get more done.
Awards Watch says Liam Neeson is at his best. Don't miss In the Land of Saints and Sinners. Having left his dark past behind, retired hitman Finbar Murphy, played by Neeson, leads a quiet life in a remote coastal Irish town. But when a menacing crew of terrorists arrive, Finbar is drawn into a vicious game of cat and mouse, forcing him to choose between exposing his secret identity or defending his friends and neighbors. In the Land of Saints and Sinners, from Samuel Goldwyn Films and Sony Pictures Home Entertainment. Watch it now on digital. Rated R.